Last Sunday, we began on the process of this talk, a message we're doing even today will continue. Because when Jesus, we know Good Friday, and it's good only because he paid the price for you and I. Jesus took our place. He who was perfect and sinless became sin so that we could become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So as good as we tell ourselves we are, without Jesus, we're nothing. He's still the center of everything. Can I get an amen? Without Jesus, we're a mess. But with Jesus, we are more than a conqueror. Without Jesus, we are busted and disgusted. But with Jesus, we are healed and made whole. Can I get an amen? Amen? So it's not a matter of letting the devil talk us into evaluating ourselves. We got to be willing to open up and look to whom it's about. It's about Jesus. Amen. When the devil says, look what you did 12 years ago, you think God will forgive you? Yes, because it's all about Jesus. 1 John 1:9, when we repent and confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us. You have to understand, God so loved the world, John 3:16, that he gave his only begotten son. Salvation is not God being angry. We are in a season of grace, which does not mean that we can do whatever we want and we get by with it. Romans 6. Paul says, shall we use our freedom from sin to go back into sin? And he said, God forbid. No, but what we have to understand is we are in a season where God has opened the door, paid the price, through sending his son to die on the cross, to become sin so that we could be free from sin, right with God, children of the Most High God. Amen. God doesn't have any grandchildren. He doesn't have any stepchildren. He only has children. And it's a real relationship. If you've never heard that, the gospel is about, it's good news that God loves you and has paid the price of your sin, but you still have to receive it by faith. Otherwise, you reject it. God did not create hell, although there is a hell. He did not create hell for humanity. He created hell for the devil. But those who reject salvation, oh, I'm a good person, I should make it. Good people don't go to heaven. Forgiven people go to heaven. Amen. It's a matter of receiving what he has already done. Don't overcomplicate it. Simplify it. Sometimes we think we're smarter if we complicate it. God's the smartest one in the room, and he simplified it. And so the reality is the price was paid, and we have to be willing to receive it. And so those who go to hell are not going to hell because of the things they did or didn't do. It's what they did not receive by faith. Well, if I get my life cleaned up a little bit, then I'll come to God. No, you can't clean your life up just a little bit or to get to the place that you can earn or receive salvation. You have to come as you are. Sometimes jacked up, messed up, broken and busted and disgusted, sin-wrapped, and it's all, God, I am a mess. I got issues, but I'm coming to you. I'm not going to try to improve me to offer you. No, I am receiving what you have offered yourself on the cross of Calvary. Do you see that? Can I get an amen?
Amen.
And without him, none of us would be anything. That'll straighten out any area of pride that we might deal with. Without Jesus, we're nothing. But with Jesus, we are the righteousness of God in Christ. By grace through faith, we are saved, the Bible says, not of works, lest any man should boast. Can I get a better amen?
Amen.
So when Jesus was on the cross of Calvary, one of the last things he said, Gospel of John chapter 19 tells us that when he knew that it was all fulfilled, he cried out and said, it is finished. Say, it is finished.
It is finished.
Now, what does that mean? It does not mean that his ministry was finished, because later we see after the resurrection, he told him, I have to go to the mercy seat and offer my blood before the mercy seat, before the throne of God. So he still had a ministry there. He still had, he was and is at the right hand of the Father, ever interceding for you and I as the great high priest. So what is finished is not the ministry of Jesus, but the price of sin and that phase of what he had to accomplish. So he said, it is finished. Now, to the disciples who heard, although they did not understand, even though Jesus told them, has somebody ever told you something? Or let's break it down this way. Have you ever told your children something and you made it plain, and later you find out that they didn't get it? They did the opposite of what you said was going to happen? Jesus had already told him on more than one occasion that, hey, this is what's going to happen. He played it out. He mapped it out. He walked it out step by step, and yet they still didn't get it. And so when they were standing at the cross and hearing Jesus say, it is finished, and then give up into thy hands, Father, I commit my spirit, and then give up his spirit, which means he died, which was an unusual because the crucifixion by Roman hand is a very excruciating, painful death, but it's a very slow death. It didn't happen immediately. So the very fact that he died even quickly was unusual. But the Bible says when he gave up the ghost, when he died, that there was a curtain in the temple that separated man and the presence of God, that only the high priest could go once a year. That thing was torn, signifying that the price has been paid for us to experience God ourselves. Praise God for ministers. Praise God for preachers. Praise God for fivefold ministry. But you don't have to go through them to get to him. As a child of God, you can go directly to him in prayer. Amen. We have our place, we have our part, we have our benefit, but we're not Jesus. You know what? And if you're a minister, that'll free you up. You can't be people's Jesus. I had somebody said, I got a question to ask you later. I said, sure, we'll find time. And they said, I know you'll know the answer. And I said, I don't know if I know the answer. I'll give it my best. I'll swing at the pitch. But I don't know everything. But I know the one who does. We're not Jesus. We're not perfect. But he is real. Yes. Amen. Yes. So the disciples, back to the story. So the disciples at that moment, they went through some very confusing issues and thoughts. Because for them, it's over. They had in their mind expected Jesus to establish the kingdom on earth. Because under the Old Testament, prophecies about the Messiah, and we've shared this before, that in the Old Testament, and there is a lot of prophecies about the coming Messiah, the Christ. But there's literally two different roads, for lack of a better phrase. And on one road, it prophesies about the Messiah who comes through the clouds as a king to set up a kingdom. On the other side, on the other road, it prophesies about a Messiah who's coming through Bethlehem as a suffering servant to die and take our place. So, which one do you think that they gravitated to? The one where he's setting up the kingdom. And if you understand that, you can understand the mindset of the disciples when they would ask Jesus questions like, who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom? Why? Because they are figuring this out. They are bidding for their place on who's going to have the best corner office. Come on, somebody. And get the best bonuses and benefits. All right, Jesus, what am I going to get out of this? That's why they asked Jesus, is it time? Because his after the resurrection of Lazarus, his fame got at such level that people were celebrating him of such magnitude that even the Jewish people, the Jewish leaders were getting nervous that, hey, things are going to get out of hand and Rome's going to hear about it and they're going to take our they're going to close down our temple and we're all going to be exiled and we're going to have problems. We need to kill this man so he doesn't mess up our plan. But the disciples that say, is it time to establish the kingdom? So that's their mindset. And yet, they did not understand that he came before to set up an earthly kingdom, which is the rule of God. He was establishing a spiritual kingdom, the rule of God, in the heart of man. Because you can establish and build things in the natural, but if the core's wrong, it will eventually die. But if you get the heart of it right, come on somebody, and you keep the heart of it right, then what you build will last because the heartbeat is correct. When the heartbeat is right, when the core is right, it's going to change everything. Amen. And so God just didn't want to establish a kingdom and force people into it. No, he wants us by our choice, this thing that he created called will, for us to choose him. And that's the big picture. When it all said and done, and God has wrapped this thing up, and the Father said, it's over, it's done, he will have a people that want to be his people, that choose him. Because he's already chosen us, but we have to be willing to choose him. And so Jesus said, it is finished. Say, it is finished.
It is finished.
Shout, it is finished.
It is finished.
But so to the disciples, they were scared. They were nervous. They were hiding. They thought, oh no, things are not going our way. Have you ever had a situation in your life and you felt it's all over? you're at the end of the line. Yeah. It's all over. Nothing's going to change. Maybe it's a doctor's report. Maybe it's a financial situation. And you just feel like you are at the end. And inside, it's like you hear the resonation of it is finished. And I want to talk to you for a few minutes this morning, because we're celebrating the resurrection of Jesus, the pathway to his resurrection. We need to celebrate and recognize the price that he paid at the cross, but it didn't stop at the cross. So it is finished was not saying it is over. Do you hear me? It is finished does not mean it is the end of the line. Because with God, all things are possible. Now, you might not understand how he's going to do it. You might not know what you need to do to obey him in the process of that miracle, because faith without works is dead. You might be totally just spinning in confusion and OMG, what am I going to do? But if you can get a hold of this thought that when he said it is finished, it was not it is over, it was the price was paid. And there's still more that's about to come. Say, there's more about to come. It was not over. The disciples didn't get it. They didn't understand it. And Jesus at the cross was all by himself. It was the plan of the Father that even those that were around him would reject him so that he would be him and the Father alone. And he died on the cross because he was not going to let anybody else fit in their minds think that they were part of the solution. Are you listening to me? Because our natural thing is for us to figure out what we can do to be part of the solution. We'll come up with solutions and then we'll put a little prayer to it. And we in the back of our minds saying, God, do it. But in the back of our minds, we feel like we're controlling the show, and God, I'm going to do it, and I need a little umph from you. But I'm telling you, there is a place that God wants to bring all of us, that even when it looks like there is no light at the end of the tunnel, even when it looks like it's impossible, even when it looks like it is over, even when it looks like no one has ever come out of this alive, even when it looks like it is so far past ever being recovered, even when it looks like it'll never happen for me, even when it sounds like I'm the devil's laughing and mocking like he did at the cross. For the Bible says that if the devil knew what he was doing, he would have never crucified the Son of Glory. He thought he had won, but he had lost. He thought he was victorious, but he was failing. Why? Because what Jesus did is he paid the price. Are you listening to me? He paid a price. And when he said it is finished, it wasn't that we have lost. It was a price that was paid just to secure that we have won. Say, I won. You say, you mean I'm going to win? No, you've already won. Now we're going to walk out the victory in the name of Jesus by grace through faith. We're going to walk this out. Hebrews 6:12, through faith and patience, they inherit the promises. The price was paid. The price was paid. The enemy defeated at the cross of Calvary. And when Jesus said, it is finished, it is over, it is done. Not that you don't have a better future. It's the price was paid. Now victory's been won. Isaiah 60, arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Are you listening to me today? I don't care where you've been, who you've talked to, what you've seen, what label's been marked on you, what the devil has told you, what he made you feel. I'm going to re-navigate our thinking today. We're going to turn the channel. We're going to move the chapter. Are you listening to me? In Luke's Gospel chapter 23, it's year 2023. In Luke's Gospel chapter 23, it's all about the cross. But in chapter 24, it's all about the resurrection. Some of us have stayed at the place of suffering, and you have to understand, God didn't call you to stay in a life of suffering. You say, I'm hurting now. I know, but the price has been paid. Let's turn the chapter and get to the chapter that belongs to you. It's the chapter of resurrection. It's the chapter of life. You don't have to look for the living amongst the dead. Get your eyes in the right chapter. Get your eyes on the right channel. Get your eyes on the right station and begin to say, wait a minute, that's where I've been, but that's not where I have to stay. When Jesus said, it is finished, he didn't mean for you to stay there. He meant for you to rise up from there and activate what belongs to you. It's called the resurrection of the Most High God. It's the power of God demonstrated in this earthly realm to let the devil know that his greatest weapon against humanity, not only sin, but sickness and death, have been defeated. That in Jesus, he is the hope hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. It did not stop 2,000 years ago. If the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, he that raised Christ from the dead, the Bible says, will quicken your mortal body. Say, I'm alive. Say, it's a new season today. Come on, say, it's a new chapter. Sit down, sit down, sit down. Sometimes we got to be willing to grab the remote of our life. Some of us, some of us, if we're going to be honest, on the natural side, we have watched movies and TV programs we weren't interested because somebody else had the remote. And sometimes in the remote of life, we have lived and seen things in our life and that we've allowed the devil to get the remote and turn on the channel of our past mistakes, turn on the channel of our past failures, turn on the channel of what the world is going through, turn on the channel of why it won't work for us. But we're going to get a hold of the remote today and say, wait a minute, I'm turning the channel, I'm turning the chapter because resurrection belongs to me. Hebrews 12, verse 2. So, looking unto Jesus, the author, it's all about Jesus. It's not about me, it's not about you, it's all about Jesus. But I don't feel it. Well, get your eyes off the out of the chapter of what do I feel. It don't look good. Well, take your eyes off the chapter of how does it look. They're telling me it'll never happen. Get your eyes off the chapter of it will never happen. And then we're going to turn to the chapter of resurrection life today. Looking unto Jesus, the Bible says, challenge it, write it down, look it up on your own time. Challenge everything I say with the word of God. Challenge everything anybody says to you with the word of God. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Amen. Who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. So now it's talking to us to look to Jesus as an example of what he went through, that even though he was going through the cross out of obedience to the Father, he was going to go to hell, the dominion of the damned, out of obedience to the Father. I heard a preacher say when I was a young man last year. Said when Jesus went into the dominion of the damned, see there's different. We use the word hell, but there's different places. There's the lake of fire hell, which is the final judgment. But there's the God will throw people in that have rejected him. And there's also the dominion of the damned. That's where the devil rules. And everybody, because of Adam and his sin, brought the price of sin, the pain of sin, the debt of sin upon everyone. You don't teach children to sin. It's an automatic thing because it is out of the blood lineage of Adam. And so when Jesus died, he even said, just as Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days and three nights, so the Son of Man will be in the belly of the earth for 3 days and three nights. And so when he went to hell, for the first time, the devil saw something he'd never seen before. Because everybody who had gone to hell before had gone out of disobedience to the will of the Father. But for the very first time, he saw somebody who had come to hell out of obedience to the Father. And Jesus didn't come. Now, some people believe that he suffered, and they'll use David's verse about, will you leave my soul in hell to suffer? I believe he went there for a specific purpose. That when he walked in, he wasn't saying, beat me and torture me. Because it had already been paid for. The price had been paid. And the Bible says that he went into hell and that he stripped the devil of the keys, which is authority, the keys of death, hell, and the grave. And then paraded, made show of him openly, as the King James, which means to parade, which is an illustration that they would have used when a conquering king defeats another army. They take the king of that other army and they imprison him and they parade him in it. And so in hell, Jesus paraded Lucifer. In hell, he paraded the devil, said, I am the one in authority now. I have the keys of death, hell, and the grave. Well, why didn't God just fix it where there's no evil or bad in the world? Because the time that he established with Adam is not yet. Yeah, all right. Because this earth is under what I would like to call a lease. like you would lease a car. And though you say it's your car, you know it's owned by the leasing company. And one day, the lease is up. And one day, Matthew 24, Jesus said, and only the Father knows that time. And one day, the lease will be up. And that's why evil happens on the earth. Have you ever had people say, well, if God's all powerful, why'd he allow that evil to happen? Listen, my friend, God did not allow that evil to happen. God didn't cause it, and he didn't allow it. If God allowed it and it was his will, then why do we have jails and prison? If you believe that and your teacher believes that, if you're in school, then all you have to do is tell them, you know, I didn't get any questions right, but I think that was the will of God, so you need to give me an A. Right? Why do we imprison people for doing wrong? Maybe you've had an experience in your life where you were molested or raped or attacked or robbed or stolen or abused or abused by somebody that you should have been protected by. That wasn't from God. That's evil in the earth.
Yes.
Evil is darkness, and darkness is the absence of light, scientifically. Right. We remove God out of a situation, and evil then is existing. And then we wonder why there's evil in schools. Don't get me going down that road. Because an evil will never have enough. But that's not God. God didn't do it. So if the devil's lied to you, and that's the trick of the devil, is to create, because John 10:10, Jesus said, the thief has come to steal, kill, and destroy. I've come that you might have life and life more abundantly. So if the enemy, that's his tactic. He comes in as a deceiver. And so what he'll do is he'll come in and try to steal or kill in your life. And then he gets you convinced that it was God who did it. And God's like, I didn't do that. Well, God, if you're all powerful, why don't you do something? Because he has elevated, Psalms 119, he has elevated his word above his name. Which means he said at Genesis, let us make man in our image and let's give him dominion. So dominion is not on God's side, it's on our side. But Jesus restored spiritual dominion. And that's why he said in Matthew 18:18, what you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, what you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And so what we have to understand is if you've ever dealt with a problem, don't blame God. It's not God. It's the enemy who's come to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus has come that you might have life and life more abundantly. So back to Romans 12. Looking into Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him. Here's the example. He looked to the joy of resurrection when he was going through the cross. So that the finish line is not the end of the line. Yes. So when the devil tells you there's no hope, you can still have hope.
Amen.
Because the light, hope doesn't have to come from the natural light.
That's right.
Hope can come from the light of Revelation, Psalms 119, the entrance of his word.
Amen.
Gives light, it gives understanding to the simple. So you say, I don't know how you're gonna do this, God. You keep sticking in that word and watch, he'll show you how he's gonna do it. Amen. Let me close out. That resurrection power of Jesus doesn't stop with Jesus. It's available to you and I.
Amen.
The resurrection power of Jesus impacts, number one, our spiritual life.
Yes.
That's God's power. Jesus has power to save.
Amen.
There is nobody too far gone that cannot be reached by the blood of Jesus. There's nobody too demon-possessed that can't be delivered by the name of Jesus. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 17, New Living Translation says, if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is useless and you are still guilty of your sins. In that Christ, all who have died believing in Christ are lost. So the cross, he paid the price, but the resurrection empowers him to save. So now you're saved if you've accepted him.
Yeah.
If he's your Lord and Savior, say, I'm saved.
I'm saved.
Don't that sound good?
Yeah.
There is no one too far gone. And the devil will tell you, it's too late for me. It'll never happen for me. But I'm here to tell you that God so loves you that hearing the word of God, the gospel, the good news, that even in your worst sin, if you open up your heart Revelation 3 says, I stand at the door of your heart and I knock. If you open up, I come in. Romans 10 tells us that those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Salvation is available. If you're on this side of eternity and you're still breathing, salvation is available to you. Amen. He has the power to save.
Yes.
See, Jesus has the power to save. That means the power to save you, the power to forgive you. And if you've been saved for any length of time, you probably messed up somewhere in the journey. And when you've messed up, you feel guilty. And when you feel guilty, the devil tries to slide in that conviction and tack onto it a thing called condemnation. And he'll try to convince you that God will never forgive you, even though, you repented before, you did it again. But 1 John 1:9 again says he is faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you. It doesn't mean that you can keep playing a game with God because you're not truly repenting of it. But the reality is it's not up to you if he forgives you. It's up to him. It's up to you to choose to repent and confess your sins. And it's up to him to choose. And I'm telling you, the Bible says that when you do, he is faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you. Number two, so we move along. Resurrection power of Jesus not only impacts our spiritual life, he has power to save. Resurrection power impacts our physical life. He has power to heal. Did you realize that? The connection of resurrection is tied to physical healing. Romans chapter 8, verse 11 says, but if the same spirit, the spirit of him that raised Christ or Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken. That word quicken literally means in the Greek to make alive. He will quicken your mortal body by his spirit that dwelleth in you. See, 1 Peter 2:24 tells us that by his stripes we were healed. Healing happened. The price was paid at Calvary. Matthew 8:17, he bore our sickness and took our infirmities. Matthew 15:26, healing is bread for the covenant children. Healing belongs to us. The price was paid on the cross, but now we're empowered, or he's empowered to heal us because of resurrection.
Amen.
If it was just paid and then you couldn't receive it, you would still be stuck.
Right.
So the cross is important, but the resurrection is also important. You'll see people that wear crosses and they'll still have Jesus on the cross. He's not on the cross anymore. If he was still on the cross, we got a problem. But because he's alive, now he has demonstrated his power over the greatest power of the devil, and once and for all finalized the failure of the enemy, that even death could not hold him. See, he has power to heal me. Number three, resurrection power impacts not only our spiritual life, our physical life, it impacts every area of our life. He has power, Jesus has power, because of resurrection, he has power to deliver you.
Amen.
Let me read it. Ephesians 1, verse 19, verse 20. Also, I pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe.
Yeah.
What do I need to do? I need to believe. This is the same, what kind of power? This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Let me quote the rest of it. Far above all principalities and powers. God is elevated. When he resurrected him, he just didn't say, now you're alive, go ahead and walk around. No, he said, you're resurrected, and that same resurrection power that raised you from the dead is going to promote you, it's going to elevate you, it's going to bring you to a place of honor, far above, high above, far above all principality and power, and above every name that has a name, in this life and the life to come, that at the name of Jesus, every knee must bow. Do you see what's happening? And every tongue must confess that at that name, what did the Father do? He resurrected him, and he not only brought him back to life, he elevated his position of authority. You know, if you go to court over something, you can get a decision from the judge in that court. But if it didn't go your way and you don't like it, you can take it to a higher court. And if there's a higher court, you climb the ladder. And if the higher court sees it your way, they can override the lower court. Do you see what I'm talking about? People do it all the way. And you can take it all the way to the local, the state Supreme Court. And if you don't like it there, you can take it to the federal, the Supreme overall court. But when you get to that point and you go to the highest court and they make a decision, you don't have anybody else to take it higher to. But I'm telling you, there is a court in heaven that is the highest court in the realm of God. It is the throne room of God, and Jesus is the judge. Are you listening to me? And he is not only the judge, he is your defender. He is your standby. He is your protector. And when the enemy, who's the accuser of the brethren, comes before the throne of God and says, they did this, Jesus stands up and says, innocent. They say, you can't call him innocent. Yes, I can, because I paid the price. Are you listening to me? The court of heaven is the highest court. The devil cannot exceed above the throne of Jesus. He cannot go higher than the name of Jesus. It is a legal system in the realm of God that even demons understand it. We don't get it many times because we walk from an American mindset and we think it's all just opinion. And what do they think? It's not. Even demons, when Jesus was on the earth, one person rose up and spoke out of the inspiration of demons, and the demon cried out and said, I know who you are. You're the Son of God. What does that mean? The demon recognized the authority of heaven. The demon identified who Jesus was. Man couldn't do it. Pharisees couldn't do it. Sadducees couldn't do it. Those near him couldn't do it. Those who ate what he multiplied couldn't do it. But all of a sudden, the demon recognized he's just not man. He is the Son of God. And he said, have you come before the time? Even devils know that there is a time, and time is running out, and it's not in their favor. It's against them, because when the Father said, it is done, it is over, it is finished, there is nobody, no one, no system, no court that can override the court of God. It is finalized. The devil knows he's already failed. He knows he's already been defeated. He knows he's already going to hell. He knows the end. He knows because he's been told the end. He doesn't know it by inside information. He knows it because God has said it. And so he's trying to take as many people to hell with them as he can. Thank you, organ player. Now, don't get carried away and start showing off. At that name, see, at the name of Jesus. You say, I don't know what to pray. Then you just walk your hallways and say, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. You put your hand on where there's pain and you say, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. I plead the blood of Jesus. I plead the blood of Jesus. And you just put where you just start. If you're like, it's somebody else to raise your hand. I plead the blood of Jesus over my children. I plead the blood of Jesus over my children. I plead in the name of Jesus. Devil, take your hands off that situation. There's power and authority in that name. But I don't feel it. Your feelings don't count in this game. Hallelujah. At that name, every knee must bow. Last but not least, resurrection power. Is resurrection power to impact our eternal life? For Jesus has the power to raise the dead. I hope, and I don't know, but I hope when we get to heaven, we can see some of the miracles of Jesus. And I know if that's the case, it's going to be better than YouTube. Right? It's going to be better than 4K. It's going to be better than 8K. I don't know how, wouldn't you like to just, I want to be there, not only at the cross and the resurrection, Jesus raising the dead. Yeah. The Bible says that one time he was walking and there was a funeral procession and it was a little boy. And Jesus just went up and touched the casket. Hallelujah. Yeah. He didn't have to say anything. He didn't have to scream at the devil. He didn't have to do all the things that we tend to do. He had so much power, so much authority, so much anointing. All he had to do was reach out with a little finger. Come on, somebody. Because a little finger of Jesus is greater than the greatest power of the enemy. And all he didn't even have to speak to the boy. He called Lazarus out of the grave. But this little boy, he didn't have to call him by name. He didn't have to stop the procession. He didn't have to talk him into it. He didn't have to explain it to him. He didn't have to say, guys, this is what I'm about to do. Will you all agree with me? He didn't even have to get the agreement. All he had to do was take his finger. And the Bible says, he just touched the casket. My God. Touch the casket. What areas are we carrying caskets in our lives? God. Some of us are weighed down by the weight of the caskets that we are dragging around. Bound by the past, bound by pain, bound by loss, bound by death, whatever it might be, and we're walking around carrying things in our life. Oh, they hurt me 30 years ago, and I'll never get over it. I'm telling you, you can be free from that garbage. You can be free. You don't have to live in fear. You don't have to live in torment. You don't have to live in pain. You don't have to live in bondage. You can be free, and it doesn't have to be screaming loud. All you need is the touch of the Master, the finger of Jesus. He just touched the casket, and it all of a sudden the Bible says that little boy sat up. I know it freaked somebody out. It would have freaked me out, but I'm telling you, and it might be time that we begin to see the power of God that would freak out those who are around us that truly aren't with us, that don't believe in Jesus. Just take your finger, Jesus. Hallelujah. Just touch the casket of those areas of my life. Touch those broken divorces that have held me from a good relationship. Touch the way I was raised that hurt me and destroyed my self-image. Touch it, those failures that the devil has imprisoned me by. Touch that door of the fear came in that has imprisoned me and I can't sleep. Just touch it, Jesus. Just touch it. All you have to do is let the finger of the Master touch the area of your life. Only you and he knows where it's at. You don't even have to stop. You don't have to make it a big deal. As you're walking in life, touch me, Lord Jesus. And when Jesus cast out in another place in the Bible, when he cast out a demon, and they say, you are casting out that demon by the prince of Beelzebub, which is the prince of the of flies, which was saying you are using demonic powers to deliver someone from demonic powers. Jesus went in a whole teaching about a kingdom divided cannot stand. And then he goes, but if I cast that devil out, by what? Come on, folks, it's not even in my notes. This got to be for somebody. If I cast out that devil by the finger of God, what is the finger of God? It represents the power of the Holy Spirit. If I cast out that devil by the Spirit of God, then you know that the kingdom of God, come on, somebody, the kingdom of God is at hand. And I'm here to tell you, like Jesus told us to tell, like he told the disciples to tell, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. You don't need all the doctors, and praise God for doctors. You don't need all that stuff. All you need is the finger of Jesus. Touch your casket. Come on, take 30 seconds and touch my casket, Lord Jesus. Touch that area of your mind. Touch, be free in the name of Jesus. Touch the area of your body. Be free in the name of Jesus. I'm telling you, revival's coming. That will not only be a spiritual revival where people will get saved and come back to God. It will be a physical revival where people will get healed. But the Lord brought back to my spirit something he dropped on my heart over 20 years ago. There's coming a day where there will be a soul revival. People will be healed in their soul. What is the soul? It's the mind, it's the will, and then it's the emotion. And all of a sudden, the Lord reminded me, I haven't forgotten that. I'm still going to do that. He is going to start bringing a revival where people's soul, where they might be physically okay, but they walk around broken. They walk in there, I'm busted and disgusted on the inside. You don't see their hurt. You don't see their scars. But on the inside, they're devalued. On the inside, they're broken. And I'm here to tell you that Jesus started his ministry, and he said, this Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. Anointed him. Do what? To heal the sick, to heal the brokenhearted, I got a scripture now. I got a scripture. And as long as I have a scripture, I can have faith. And if I have faith, I can receive it. It's mine. Are you listening to me? What am I telling you? It's about time. People are delivered from the torment of the enemy in the area of their soul so they can rise up and be who God called you to be. You can wait till you get to heaven to begin to experience that. Or you can believe that Jesus meant what he said when he told him, pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I'm telling you, the first breath in heaven is going to be amazing. The first breath, you're like, wow, I never felt so happy. I didn't know. I go, this is what it feels like with no bondage. This is what it feels like with no torment. This is what it feels like with all those limitations. This will remove. This is what it feels like with all those labels from people removed. I'm telling you, you can get it there, or you can believe you can have it here to the glory of God. If you believe that, raise your hands. Be free in the name of Jesus. Jesus, touch the caskets of their lives that is holding them back. Be free. Soul healing in the name of Jesus. Be healed in the area of your mind, will, and emotions. Hallelujah. 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 The finger of God. Thank you, Jesus. But you know, I didn't grow up in the church. That might be to your benefit. I didn't go to Sunday school as a kid. That might be to your benefit. Because sometimes some of us, come on, I'll include myself in it. Sometimes we, those of us who have grown up in church, we got to learn to unlearn some stuff before we get to learn what God wants us. So don't let the devil tell you, oh, you've never been in church, it's too late for you. No, it's to your benefit that you have a clean slate, that you can begin to say, like Mary told the servants, whatever he tells you to do, simply obey. You don't have to be a theological, hermeneutical. You don't have to understand all the words that no one understands anyway. All you have to do is say, God, I'm going to read your word, and what you show to me to be true, I'm going to believe it, and I'm going to obey. Like Peter, who was that, said, Lord, we have been fishing all night and caught nothing. And Jesus had just told him an instruction, cast out your net to get it for a big haul. And he said, Lord, we have worked all night and caught nothing. He should have said, I'm a professional fisherman. You're a professional preacher. You stick to preaching, I'll stick to fishing, because preaching and fishing shouldn't cross. I know what I'm doing and it's not working. But I love it when Jesus comes in to the boat of what you think he has no right to. And all of a sudden you say, God, speak to me. He said, I want you to do this. And Jesus said, and Peter said, it shouldn't happen. But according to your word, I'll obey. When God begins to speak to your heart, don't complicate it. Let it say, according to your word, I'll obey. And when you begin to walk it out, you'll begin to see God do stuff that those who have been saved for 40 years cannot understand. Hallelujah. If you believe that, give him a hand clap. Hallelujah. Woo, I'm feeling good. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Last but not least, hallelujah. And I'll make this quick. Now I repent for lying. Resurrection power that Jesus experienced, that resurrection power that raised him from the dead, is available to us. It's a resurrection power that impacts our eternal life. He has the power to raise the dead. 1 Corinthians 15. And if our hope in Christ is only for this life, your life doesn't cease at the end of this life. You have to understand that. There's a movie years ago that came out, and it's called Bucket List. And there's a conversation about heaven and hell and eternity, and the guy said, you know what I don't understand is these people who believe you always come back. And based on what you did in your past life will determine what you do in your next life. He said, and his question was, what does a slug have to do to get out of that? You know what I mean? If a person's been a bad person, they keep going down in the ranking and get to the lowest. What do you have to do? No, there's not a second life that you get to live on the earth and try to be a better person in that life so you can climb the rankings of life. No. After this life, when you take your last breath on this side of eternity, it might be finished from the natural, but it's not finished. The finish line's not over. Because all of a sudden, Paul says, on this side of eternity, I see through a glass dimly. cloudy, but then I will know as I'm known. Heaven is greater than you can ever imagine. Amen. Heaven's so great that God won't show us heaven. Because if he showed you heaven, you would be so miserable on earth. That new car you thought you got that just made your day, you'd be like, get me to heaven, Jesus. That new restaurant that you found that you thought it was the bomb, you got to tell everybody, that food's nothing like the food of heaven. They eat in heaven. I'm telling you, they eat in heaven. Heaven is an amazing, it's beyond our understanding. And heaven and hell's also real. It's worse than we can ever imagine. If our hope in Christ is only for this life, we are more to be pitied than anyone in the world. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. He is the first of a great harvest of all who have died. Verse 21. So you see, just as death came into this world through a man, now the resurrection from the dead has begun through another man. See, death came through Adam, but the Bible says that Jesus is the second Adam. Verse 22, just as everyone dies because we all belong to Adam, everyone who belongs to Christ will be given new life. Verse 23, but there is an order to this resurrection. Christ was raised as the first of the harvest. Then all who belong to Christ will be raised when he comes back. I'm telling you, there is a party going on. There is a joy set before us. There is an assignment on this side of eternity. Don't misunderstand me. And there's good days and you'll have challenging days. But at the end of the day, doing the will of God is the most important thing. But I want you to know that even, don't be jealous of other people on this life, because there is a joy coming in the future. There is a place called heaven to those who know him. And we will be raised from the dead and our bodies will be glorified. Hallelujah. Our bodies will be, you know, Jesus purchased all of us. You are a spirit person. You have a body and you have a soul. You live in a body, you have a soul. This body, really like to think of it this way, this body is your car to get around on this life. But one day it's going to be glorified. Why? Because God is so good. His presence is so amazing that even in the Old Testament, they referred to his glory. The Hebrew word is kabod, which K-A-B-O-D, which literally means the weightiness of God's goodness. Wow. He's so good that when they approached Jesus one day and said, good master, how do I inherit eternal life? A valid question for anybody who wants to reach people. But he didn't answer the question that seemed to be the most important. He stopped him and said, wait a minute, there's none good but one. Because the waiting, God is so good that it's heavy. And it's so heavy that you can't handle it. You say, oh, I experience God's presence. And I believe you do. But what you experience is just a little bit. It's a diluted version, so diluted that you can just handle it. Because your physical body cannot handle it. Your spirit man's ready to go, but your physical body cannot handle the goodness of God. So when people are like, oh, let's just live for this life and don't worry about the rest, you better be thinking about the rest, because what you do and how you serve the Lord and if he's Lord of your life makes a key element. People don't go to heaven because they're good. They go to heaven because they're forgiven and because he's Lord of their life. And one day, hallelujah, as I get older, the reality keeps setting in. Time moves fast. It doesn't. In a couple weeks, I'm going to be 56 years old. And I still feel like I'm 22. Until I get out on the basketball court with these guys. And they run around me and beat me, and it's not even. I played basketball a couple weeks ago. I thought, I'm going to get back out there. It's a beautiful day. I'm tired of the cold. I got to where I hate cold. I don't mind snow at Christmas time. I'll sing Let It Snow when we got Christmas coming. But after Christmas, it's time to go. I don't like cold anymore. I don't know about you. I talk to people like, oh, I like the cold. Shut up and get behind me, devil. So I thought, you know, I'm going to play basketball. So I played a pickup game with my nephew, Zion, and my daughter, Logan. And they both beat me. I don't know what's up with that. Back in the day, I had game. Now all I have is talk. not even right. But one day, you know, our physical body wants to keep getting older. But our spirit, man, the Bible says, is renewed day by day. But one day, this side of eternity is going to be over. And one day, we'll stand before the throne of God. This is not a game. I've had people say, oh, you know, I just go to church, it'll be fine. I'll live the way I want, and the last minute, I'll get saved. It don't work that way.
Right.
That's a lie, a deceptive lie of the devil.
Yep.
I'm prayerfully looking if the Lord wants me to do a whole other series again on the end times. I've done so many of them. I just love that topic. But let me just throw my perspective at it. After the rapture happens, and Paul, and it's talked about in Thessalonians, I grew up thinking this too. Oh, I'll live any way I want, and then when the rapture happens, I'll know the church is gone, and then I'll get saved, get my head cut off, and I'll get to heaven. It won't happen. If you can't serve Jesus now, you're not going to serve Jesus then when you're hungry and they're going to tread off. But I'm a firm believer, and I'll get into it one day, and you might disagree with me. It's okay to just disagree with people. You can still love people and disagree with them, still stay in unity with them. You don't think that? Then you're not married. Anybody who's married knows you can stay in unity and disagree. And everybody said,
amen.
But I'll get into it in the future. But the fact, after the rapture, the age of the church will be gone. Gentiles will not have a chance to go through the door. Well, who's the 144? Who's all the people around the throne that's getting beheaded? That's a whole other group. We'll talk about it another time. It's not the Gentiles. Not the Gentiles. Don't let the devil deceive you thinking you can live any way you want. One day we will all stand before the great white throne judgment of heaven.
Yeah.
If we're not saved. And if we are saved, we'll stand before the throne of Christ.
Yeah.
But one day we'll stand before God. And how we lived on this life, on this side of eternity. If he was Lord, if we obeyed him, if we served him. This is not a game. I know people say, I go to church, that should be good enough. Listen, going to church doesn't make you no more a Christian than sleeping in a garage makes you a car. You must be born again. With every head bowed and every eye closed as we close in prayer here. If you do not know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, you can. I'm not asking if you know about God or someone who is serving God. Where are you in your life right now? Is Jesus Christ real to you in a way that you know, in the way you understand, the way you experience that he's real and your Lord and Savior? With every head bowed and every eye closed, no one moving around. This is your opportunity. If you do not know him, you can. If you don't know him, you can. It's the greatest miracle of all, that guilt of sin being removed and having a clean, clear conscience between you and God. Where you can lay your head on your pillow tonight and know that all things are well. Not being bound, not being tormented, not being driven by the enemy, but free by the presence and power of God, the resurrection power of God. This is your day. I'm not here to embarrass you. I'm here to help you. We want you to know how much Jesus loves you, that he died for you. What a great, great price. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you do not know him, I want you to pray this prayer with me. Say from your heart, let it come from your heart. For Romans 10 says, those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Say with me, Heavenly Father, I repent of all my sins. I turn to you today. I believe in my heart and I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he came to this earth in the flesh, died on a cross for my sins, was buried for me, and on the third day rose again for me. Because I believe that, I ask you, Jesus, to come into my heart, wash me in your blood, forgive me, cleanse me, be my Lord and Savior. Thank you for saving me. Amen. Now I want you to look at here. I want to speak a blessing over your life if you prayed that prayer. If you prayed that prayer and said, Pastor, I was one, and I know there's more than one. I was one of many that prayed that prayer and gave my heart to the Lord just now. If that was you, at the count of three, just so I know who I was praying with, I want you to lift your hand at the count of three. Those who are here, those who are in the coffee house, those who are in the overflow, at the count of three, I want you to lift your hands. One, two, three. Pastor, that was me. Who was I praying with? Lift your hand and keep them up if you would. Come on. One, two, three. Thank you very much. Four, five. Go ahead. Six, seven, eight. God bless you. Anybody else? 9, 10, 11, 12. God bless you. Anybody else? 13, 14, 15. God bless you. 16. God bless you. 17, 18. God bless you. Anybody else? 19 far left. God bless you. Keep your hands up if you would for a few seconds. First of all, let me say welcome to the family of God. Amen. Welcome to the family of God. Freedom, stand up. After service, if you want us to know who you are, if you want us to be praying for you, answering questions, be here for you, get you a Bible if you need a Bible. The rhythm of Hope Church is we don't control people, we don't manipulate them, but we're here for you at whatever level you want us to be. I don't force people to serve Jesus. We're on a bus to serve Jesus on our way to heaven. We have a seat for you, but we let people make that decision. Jesus doesn't want the wheel of the car of your life. He wants you to hold the wheel and you follow him. So following the service, either down here at the front, Freedom is one of our care pastors, or across the hallway at the information center, Miss Debbie is one of our care pastors. Either one of them, you can go up and let them know you prayed that prayer and you can give them their information and we'll just reach out to you. We're not going to make it. It's not a fundraiser. We're not going to hound you or hunt you down. We're not going to control you. We're not going to manipulate you. That's not our rhythm. We just want you to know that we're here for you. Amen. So keep your hands raised. Those who raised them earlier, let me speak a blessing over your life. If you raise your hands for salvation, go ahead and keep it up real high. Father, those whose hands raised that prayed that prayer, according to your word, I ask you to strengthen them with might by your Holy Spirit. According to your word, give them tenacity, boldness, strength, that when they leave this place, that they'll not only know that they're not the same, that they're saved, but they'll have the ability to stand up for you and resist the enemy, resist temptation. And everyone that has been assigned against them in their life, either currently or for historically, that is a negative assignment by the enemy to steal, kill, and destroy, and to take them down the wrong path to hell, we curse and bind those connections. I curse and bind even the desire to hang out with those people. And Lord, replace them with the right people that would encourage them, that would strengthen them, that would be there for them. And we give you praise. And everyone said, amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise.